we said, this is Father's Day, and God has given many instructions for fathers in His Word. He's given examples in His Word for us to learn from, some good examples and some bad examples. We want to look at some of those areas that are important for godly fathers while looking at the Scriptures and looking at scriptural examples today. As I look at, we recognize that need, and as I prayed this morning, we recognize that God has given responsibilities of which we can have a great influence upon our children. We've looked at that as we looked at Mother's Day, and sometimes there are dads that have had to raise their children, and have not they've had to take that and tried to fill that gap that mothers have. We have the same thing when there are sometimes women that have to take that place of the father and try to fill that gap. What a blessing it is that God gives us some of those instructions. And as I look at our scriptures today, and I think of our need of godly fathers, I encourage you that you would think back and give God thanks for those that have been godly in your life, and for those things that you have been able to, and that they've been able to give you. With those things in mind this morning, I'm going to be looking at a number of different scriptures today. This will be more of a topical message. We read that passage from 1 Samuel chapter 16, because there we have an example of the Lord looking out for and looking for a man that would serve Him. And we saw, even as David was chosen over those of his seven brothers, because God looks on the heart. And I think of, as we think of that, we recognize that what's the first thing that we would have in our responsibilities? And of course, as I'm speaking to fathers, I'm speaking to all of us in the sense that these are things that are need for all of us. And first of all, that there be a heart for God. That there be a heart for God. There's that need to give your heart over to God. I think of, we need to, as we recognize that Jeremiah told us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we recognize the wickedness of our heart. And that's one of the first things we need to recognize as we recognize our need to have a heart for God, and that is that our heart of itself and its nature is sinful. And it's not a heart that's for God. And that's why when we have in these verses of helping people to understand their need of the Lord, that second verse that has been memorized is, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we're all a people that have that in our human nature. And so where's that heart going to come from? Later on in Jeremiah, he said, "If you shall seek me," Jeremiah 29:13, he says, "If you shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, you shall seek me and find me when you so search for me with all your heart." As we recognize the needs of our own hearts, the Lord says, "Seek me, search for me, and you'll find me as you search for me with all your heart." And the Lord wants us to search for Him. He wants us to, as we recognize the needs of our own hearts, to search for Him, and then as we as we learned that that we can become the children of God. We can have that verse in John 1:12 when he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And what a blessing it is to know that we are adopted into the family of God, that we become the children of God. To have a heart for God, first of all, we've got to give your heart over to God. Recognize the sinfulness of your own heart. You seek the Lord with your whole heart. You give yourself over to Him. I know those are things that you know, and I trust that most all here, that's where you are, that you've given your heart over to God. What was it that made the difference, I think, with even with the choosing here, as we read that passage of the choosing of David? Think of the words of the Lord when he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." He said that was the first commandment. We need to love the Lord with our whole being. If there's going to be if we're going to be godly fathers, we not only need to give ourselves over to the Lord. And as we do that, as we come to Him in salvation, and He grants us that forgiveness and that cleansing, but it's a lifelong event. It's a lifelong event then of giving ourselves over and of loving our Lord with our whole heart. Do you love the Lord with your whole heart? Is there that is being held back, that you would trust Him no matter what the circumstances of life are? I always think when I make a statement like that of that passage in Job, where Job said, "Though he slay me, I will trust in him." Because he had that confidence that even if the Lord were to take his life, he recognized, "I can trust in the Lord. That would be good." And so he could make that kind of a statement when things were all going wrong with him. Love the Lord your God with all of your being. May the Lord have His way. May there be a trust and a confidence in Him no matter what the circumstances. And truly, I believe that the Lord, as the Lord chose David, there's an indication that David was this kind of a man because God said, "He's a man after my own heart. He's a man after my own heart." When the Lord had Samuel to let Saul know that he was being replaced as king, back in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, the Lord said this through Samuel, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Remember, Saul lost the kingdom. Saul became prideful. He thought he needed in his own self-sufficiency he disobeyed the Lord in going and offering sacrifice that he was not to offer. He was taking things into his own hand. He wasn't obedient to the Lord and in the battle that the Lord had given to him. And so God says, I'm going to seek one after my own heart, one who will follow me." I think there's in Acts 13, it speaks of David when it says, when he had removed him and he raised Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Would the Lord say that about us? Would the Lord say that about us as fathers, as grandfathers, those of you who someday will be in that category as fathers, to be a godly man that God would look at and says, I'm seeking out a man after my own heart, and I'm going to choose you. So we recognize that love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength is not just given to men, is it? It's given to all of us. It's what God desires of us. He desires our whole being. And if we're going to be able to carry out the responsibilities that God has given to us in the various roles that he has given to us, we need to love him with all of our heart. May we be fathers who will be that kind of a man. But you know, just loving the Lord, we need to recognize a second thing, and that is that we have an accountability before God. We have an accountability before God. We have various roles that we are to fill. We looked at that as we were looking in the book of Hebrews about the accountability of the spiritual leaders and the accountability that we have before God. I think of when I think of here in relationship to fathers, my mind turns to Eli in the Old Testament, recognizing that he had an accountability before God for those that were under him and for his sons. There in 1 Samuel 3:13, the Lord through Samuel said this to Eli, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Eli's sons served with him in the priesthood. Eli's sons were older. They were older men, but they were still under Eli because Eli was the high priest, and his sons served under him, and Eli let them go on in their wickedness. It says he didn't restrain them. He didn't take the responsibility that God had given to him. How we make a grave mistake when we make exception for our own children. Many times people will be equitable and just until it comes to their own. Then they seem to be blinded. We know that Eli told them that they were being wrong, but he didn't do anything about it. And so the Lord judged Eli because he did not restrain his sons from doing evil. I have heard parents that have said of their children, well, yeah, they're here in the home, but they're 18 now. I can't tell them to do anything because they're of age. Well, you know, as long as they're under your roof, you have an accountability. And certainly Eli found that out, and Eli lost the blessing that he could have had, and if you remember the story, both Eli and his sons ended up losing their lives. God hates partiality. He says he's not a respecter of persons, and he is holy. I think about that, and parents and fathers particularly, as today, when your child gets in trouble, do you make exception for him? Do you take the side of the guilty? How we are warned about taking the side of the evil of the guilty in favor over the righteous. We need to help our children accept their responsibility, don't we? We must help them understand that they're accountable. Our love for them sometimes seems like harsh treatment. And as thinking of this, the accountability, you know, I look at David as a great example of his love for the Lord, and yet, it looks like in the scripture, David was a poor father. When it came to his own children, it appears that he didn't want to discipline them. He, like many today, probably would have said, well, I loved them too much to make them accountable. When it said of his own, back in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5, we learn that David didn't discipline his son Adonijah. It says his father had not displeased him in any way. And then we'll look at that as we look along here. But David didn't carry out the law against his own children. When we saw the wickedness of Ammon, the wickedness of Ammon in 2 Samuel 13, where he was committing all sorts of immoral acts, but he did not take and use the law against them. Absalom, who sought to take over the kingdom, was restored to Israel without punishment, the scripture lets us know. How David grieved. Remember David grieved for Absalom later? I often think of the words of David when Absalom was finally taken there in 2 Samuel 18:33, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." How many times we grieve for our children, and David grieved for Absalom, and afraid David, as I said, we learn that from. That he didn't really discipline his children. If you want that verse, it's in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5, when Adonijah, his son, it says he exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." He prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And then it says, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And he also was a goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. So he was a handsome young man. But at no time did David want to displease him. No time did he say, "Why did you do that?" No, he just let him go and do his own thing. I think this kind of gives a key to David's downfall as a father. We have to take the responsibility that is placed before us. Sometimes we must be tough. Sometimes the father must be mean. Sometimes they must displease their children. Sometimes we even have to displease our wives. Let's make sure it's for the right reason, guys. You know, But we have an accountability in the leadership that we have. We have an accountability before God. Something that I've said before that sometimes is a hindrance to parents and to men is they let their children do something because it's what they did. And they say, what can I say? I did that when I was their age. But do we allow wickedness because we did it? Does that make it right? Are we training in wickedness or in righteousness? Have we learned anything at all through our experiences in life? We come from an understanding of the natural man because we've been there, right? I did that. Yeah, it was wrong. I was following my natural inclination that was wrong. And look at the results of what happened. I didn't please God, and whatever the circumstance was, and this was the result. Now that we're saved, we have a new man and that is there to rule our hearts. So we need to do right. We need to recognize the accountability that we have before God. I think of the next thing that we ought to look at is, yes, we need to recognize our accountability and recognize the need to be a leader for God. A leader for God to train up to see the responsibility that God has given us in the training of our children. Isn't Abraham a good example of that? You remember Abraham when the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He made a statement about Abraham. He says, I'm going to let Abraham know about this. In chapter 18, verse 19 of Genesis, what did he say about Abraham? He said this, I know him. I know that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. He says, I know he'll command his children. I know that Abraham is going to cause his children to do right. Isn't it an important thing that we take that responsibility and we take the responsibility to train? There's a number of verses that I have written here in my notes about training our children. Of course, one that you probably recognize a lot is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The need to bring them along and to train them up. We saw that of Abraham, there's some verses in Deuteronomy that I think are important verses for us. One in Deuteronomy 4:9, take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Oh, there it's getting us to the grandfathers, isn't it? Teach not just to your sons, but to your sons' sons. Keep your own soul diligently. Don't forget the things that you have learned from the Word. But it's not just for you. It's for your children. It's for your sons. It's for your sons' sons. How we seek and desire for our grandchildren as well as for our children. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, that's that passage of Scripture. Why don't you go back there once? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And here's a passage that the Lord gave in the training and the bringing along of the children. He did this for Israel. Beginning in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. There we have one who, yes, they've committed themselves to the Lord, our first point. They're loving the Lord with all their heart, giving themselves over completely to the Lord, our second point. And here in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Here we see him using all the experiences of life for the training and the instruction of the children, of the youth, of the young people. How much we lose when we just relegate. We just relegate the training of our children to one particular thing. Sometimes there are men that say, "Well, I'll let the wife do that. I'll bring in the paycheck. You just teach the children." Well, the mother has a tremendous effect upon the children, but here we see that in all aspects of life, of where they go and what they're seeing in these experiences, it's to see the living out of the Christian life, how they need to see it lived out in the home, how they need to see it lived out in the relationship that a dad has with the mother. How they need to see it out in the relationship of the father with the children as well, and the necessity of that in all areas of life, they're being taught the things of God. Speak of the things of God. Looking at the creation that the Lord has given, and speaking of the goodness of God and the provision of God, and so they see that and understand that in all that they do. Look what God has provided for us. Look what God has done as we go into these various areas. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Here we have the total infiltration of the Scripture in what is being seen and what is being taught and known. What a sad thing it is today when the things of God are just relegated, to the church, and yet when all of society around us is going against God, what a sad thing it is when we see that with the schools, we see them teaching something completely different, and it's like, well, that's part of faith, but here is science, and here is this. Well, science and faith should go hand in hand, because we gain from God's word, and we interpret things through God's word, because here is absolute truth. Had a blessing this week of being with Miriam and Steve, and being down at the Creation Museum, and just that undergirding of how all things in life are as a result of what God has done and what God has given to us. Our children need to see that, don't they? And so as we're going about, we need to be speaking about God, the relationship between this thing that you're seeing and the relationship between there and God and what God has done. We need to, as the psalmist said, to speak of the wonderful works that our God has done to the children of men. Of course, that children of men is not just to our children, but to all men that we are speaking of those things. So part of training is not just seeing that they're in Sunday school. It's not just seeing that they are that there is a one time of devotion in the home. All of those things need to fit together. It should be part of a big puzzle, a big picture of seeing that they are constantly being undergirded with the things of God. And yes, that those hard things of life are taking place. Psalm 78, verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Psalm 78, 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We should have generations that are being taught the things of our God. Your children have had a tremendous blessing of being under the Word of God. When you've had them raised in church, when you've had them started up with those little ones in Debbie's class she had up here this morning, learning the precious things of God. Then they've gone up there to they're at Marlene's class, learning the things of God. And then up in the other classes, but what do they need? Not just those classes, they need it in the home. They need it seeing lived out in the life of their parents. May we be that person that we ought to be. Not that hypocrisy. Then I think of Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's easy for us to provoke our children to wrath. It's easy to do that in our not being what we need to be. Not giving them the protections that we have. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to make them feel bad. I pulled out a little comic strip out of the paper from this last week, The Family Circus. I don't know if anybody saw that or not, but little boy is up on with his brother straddling the fence, the wooden fence, and he's kind of toddling back and forth like about to fall off. And he says, I wish Mommy would come out here and tell me I shouldn't be doing this. You know, he's up there doing what he knows he shouldn't do. He knows he's in danger. He's about to fall down. I wish Mommy cared enough to come out and tell me. Well, he didn't say cared enough. I mean, his mom did not see him as a problem. But he says, I wish Mommy would come out of here and tell me I shouldn't be doing this. You know, children need that discipline of the Lord. They need that discipline of their parents. They need those tough things to be done. How I think of Samuel as a little boy, how it says he grew with both in favor with the Lord and with men, and how he walked with the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, he says, and now behold, the king walketh before you. I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Oh, how we need godly men that could say that. I've walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Here was Samuel. We read the verse as a child. Here we see him as an old man, but able to say that he had followed the Lord. And Samuel was an example. What happens when you don't discipline? What happens when you don't do what you ought with your children? I'm going to show you some verses in Proverbs. These are verses that were penned by Solomon. Solomon had served and then really observed his father's, he observed his father's lack of discipline. He observed how David didn't discipline as he ought to in the home. And he saw what happened to his brothers. Maybe that's the reason some of these verses we have in Proverbs. Let me just read a few. Chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. How many will not give that discipline to their child because they don't want to hear him cry. Sometimes they need to cry. They need that would cause them to cry. In the 13th chapter of Proverbs in verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So the one that really loves his son is one that is going to be right there. And many times, he's going to correct him and he's going to discipline him. But the one that doesn't love, he's the one that doesn't do it. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then in 23rd chapter, in the 13th and the 14th verses, and really the 15th verse, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he shall not die. If thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And then in the 17th verse, he says, correct thy son, and he'll give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight to thy soul. Oh, how we need to understand the importance of correction. Does the Lord correct us? Does the Lord correct you when you need it? I remember thinking in days past, why do other people get away with that? It seems like when I do it, I get caught. Well, you know, sometimes the best thing that can happen is you get caught. And I've said that to parents that's been grieved when their child has done something and they found out about it. And I say, you know, that's the best thing that could happen. They needed to be found out. They needed to get caught so it could be dealt with and corrected, and you go on from there. Hebrews 12:7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God loves us. Because he loves us, he cares for us, and he chastens us. He brings correction. He brings correction to us. He brings things to help us to come back to where we need to be. It's important for us to recognize the necessity of our giving ourselves and our giving our children over to the Lord. That statement of Hannah about Samuel, I lent him to the Lord. As long as he lived, he shall be lent to the Lord. You know, I think one other thing that we need to recognize in importance as a parent, is we should be raising him to go out, raising him to go out to serve the Lord. In the book of Malachi, the Lord says, why did I give marriage? Why did I make them one flesh? He says that they might produce a godly seed. What is your goal as a father? What is your goal as a parent? It should be that from me, from my children, there would be a godly seed. We live in a wicked and a perverse world. We live in a time when all is going against God, it seems like it's just being thrown up in our faces, the evil that is all around us, and you wonder how fast things are going in this wicked and evil world. I saw yesterday on the news where in our United States Embassy in Israel, they raised under the American flag, they raised the rainbow flag of the homosexual. How can our country do such a thing as that? We live in a wicked time, but in the midst of this wicked world, from the believer, from those God has chosen, that from us should go a godly seed, that from us should be those that would go out and to serve the Lord. So what do we do? Those of you who have little ones, start when they're tiny. Start with little Michaela back there, you know. make her do right, you know. But teach her the love of God, you know. And as you come up through those years, and just some of you don't have that opportunity. Maybe you've got grandchildren. And I recognize that as parents, we can't tell our kids what they have to do that have left the home, right? You just bite your lip. When they ask advice, you give it to them. But at the same time, we can be that godly example. At the same time, we can provide those things which are within that realm of responsibility that God has given to us, to see that our grandchildren are provided with those things that they need in regards to that upbringing. Sometimes things that are without our ability, we can't do anything about. I mentioned Eli. Eli's sons were, even though they were older, they were still under his. They were under his responsibility and authority, and Eli was judged for that. But what can you do? What can you do for children that are out of the home and away from the Lord? Boy, you can pray, can't you? You can pray. You can pray for the Lord to work and to deal in their hearts. And you can seek to continue to be that godly example that you need to be. And we pray and seek that, oh Lord, that there would be that godly seed. And one other thing as we're looking at that, parents like to keep their kids close to home. They want to see their grandkids, right? You want to see your grandkids. You want to see them raise up. But you know, what our goal should be is that my children will serve the Lord. And if God should choose them to take them to the farthest place away from us, that's okay as long as they're serving the Lord. Because they need to have a godly influence, and if that godly seed can be used as a missionary in the farthest corner of the world, then Lord, so be it. Because remember what Hannah said: I lent Samuel to the Lord. She gave him, and really, you could turn that around. The Lord has just lent our children to us. He's given them to us, and don't hold back. Don't hold back your child that wants to go off, or your grandchild that wants to go off and serve the Lord someplace, and some places where it's dangerous. We had Cindy Grover here talking about going. I wondered, how can that woman go over there where she's going, where her life is going to be in danger? And as a parent, what would you think if your daughter was going off to a place like that and her life in danger? But is she not safer there than here, if that's God's will for her to be there? And we need to recognize that with our children. May the Lord help us to be godly parents, and particularly on this Father's Day, you men, that you be a godly man, that you be a godly man that will take the responsibility that God has given to you, that you'll be the person that God would have you to be, that you would be a man after God's own heart, that we would be people after God's own heart, and then that we would be used of God to produce a godly seed. It's never too late as long as there's life. We continue to pray and we can continue to do what God would have us to do. We can't go back and change the past, but we can go from here and we can be what God would have us to be and look to God to what he would have to be done. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. And Lord, we recognize the need that we have for godly men, for godly fathers. And, oh, Lord, for those to fill those responsibilities that are there. And, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you take us and you take us in our circumstance of where we are and you would have us to be what you would have us to be. And then, Lord, we commit our hearts and lives to thee. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I must ask, could you say of me, he's a man after my own heart? Lord, could you say to these here that she's a woman after my own heart? Or he's a child after my own heart. Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning, our hearts and our love to thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and...